Junior Church. Kiddos, get out of here. Lauren, can you make sure that door's... Okay, thank you. All right. The rest of your gravy Bibles, please. The book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Last week we talked about Satan as a roaring lion. And, you know, we didn't get... Well, we got kind of far. We're talking about the reality of Satan and the reality of the battle that we are in. And we are truly in a battle for the souls around us. And Satan is real, and he is at work. And he's at work, in our nation. We are heading quickly into a secular society, removing God. And it's imperative for us as a church. You know, we've had it good for so long, and I like good. I like easy. Is anyone else? I like it when things are easy. But we're called to keep going even when it's not. In the first century church, Peter understood this. These guys were giving their lives for the Lord. And he encouraged them, be aware, be vigilant, the scripture says. Because Satan is about. Be aware, be alert. And I think it's good for us to keep our eyes open to what's going on. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And like I said, we already talked last week about the reality of Satan. Don't be fooled. Right? There's an enemy behind the scenes pulling the strings, putting things in place. His object is for this one world government. Now, ultimately, what he wants to do is push God out of the picture, and he wants to be the God. And we see this playing out today. But, Christian, there's hope for us. You know, as we turn around and look, it's easy to be discouraged. And sometimes we seem like the wrong is winning. Don't be fooled into that. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so as you go forward to this, he tells us how we can fight the enemy. Notice what he says here in verse 9. He says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The first one is to resist. Resist the devil. Realize he's working. Realize he's at work. The battle that we have isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and all these spiritual forces. If we realize that, it changes the dynamics. You know, my wife and I, if we are fighting, Satan is having a heyday in the background when I'm not living up to my faith. Right? When we see the politics play out one way or the other, right? All of a sudden now we find out what we're really kind of made up of. And Satan laughs all the way to the bank. But he warns us to resist him. Resist him. Be aware that he's doing it and don't fall for his tricks. James tells us the same thing in James 4, 7. It says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And really, that contrast is to yield to God. God, you have your way. God, I'm laying this down at your feet. And Lord, help me just do what you want me to do. And folks, I'll tell you, in our lives, if when Satan attacks us, we get closer to God, eventually he will leave us alone in those areas. Right? In the areas in our life that mess us up, whether it's maybe it's our relationships, maybe it's our work, maybe it's our politics, all these things. If Satan can mess with us and drive us away from God, he is winning. But if he comes into our lives and we get closer to God, then Satan is losing. And you know what? I want Satan to be a loser. Right? And when we do that, if what the circumstances and the trials we're going through bring us closer to God, if we submit to God in those things, then God, have your way. That boy, it drives us to our knees. Right? I'll tell you, over the last 4 or 5 years, no matter what your political persuasion is, I've heard more people say, I'm praying. You know what? That's a good thing. If all these things that brought you, and don't stop. Keep praying. Allow these things to drive us closer to God, not farther away. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him. It says, do not lead us into temptation. This is the Lord's Prayer. But deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The example prayer the Lord gave us, that continually in our prayers, is, Lord, deliver us from the tempter. Deliver us from him. Don't let me fall for his tricks again. And be aware, and a good indicator is you know your life because your buttons are different than mine. Right? And Satan knows exactly what it takes to get you riled up. He knows that it knows exactly what you need to do to be discouraged. Right? You know how it is. And realize that it's the attack of Satan. And Lord, deliver us from it. Right? We do not have to fall for the tricks. We don't. And through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, he can deliver us from the evil one. This is how we can resist Satan. Real quick. One is be led by the Spirit. Right? It's so easy to get relaxed and think, hey, I got this. And I'm going to live life in sort of that automatic mode. Right? I'm doing it in the flesh. I got this. I can handle this. And then all of a sudden, it happens, right? That temptation comes in. The frustration comes in. The fear comes in. Right? All these things all of a sudden come out of the blue, and I'm not ready for it. Because I've been living in the flesh. Paul tells the Galatians in Galatians 5:16, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you deal with temptation? Walk in the Spirit. Have a song in your heart. Have a verse on your lip. Be praying continually. As we do these things, Satan won't have that foothold in our lives. We had a professor in school. He used to always say that the Bible is so full of do's. If you're so busy doing the do's, you don't have to worry about the don'ts. If we're so busy doing the do's, we won't have to worry about the don'ts. Right? Lord, let me be faithful. Let me serve you. And there's enough there to keep you busy that you won't have time for the other things. First John tells us in chapter 3, verse 8, it says, and he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Once again, the works of the devil in our lives. The solution for it is the Son of God. Get closer to Jesus. When you're afraid, pray. When you don't know what to do, pray. When you're angry, pray. You see a pattern here? When you're tempted, pray. I was talking about this once before, and a lady came to me and goes, Pastor, if I did that, I'd be praying all the time. I believe it's a verse that says, pray without ceasing, right? Exactly. Exactly. And prayer doesn't have to be that, you know, close your eyes, bow your head, fold your hands. Especially if you're driving, I don't recommend that. Please.
You know? I mean, prayer can be simple. Lord, help. Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Lord, that was a beautiful sunset happening at 4 o'clock now. Right? In the midst of all this, it could be a reminder. Lord, you're in control. You know, I've been praying that a lot lately. Okay, Lord, you know, Lord, you're in control. Not that I have to tell him he's in control. I just need to remind myself, right? And all of a sudden, when you do that, the Spirit of God now dwells in us and changes us that we can have hope in this world. Resist, be led by the Spirit. Resisting through humility. We start off this chapter, right? In chapter 5. It says, likewise, younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. You start off this chapter with humility. As I seek out other people and want to help other people, put other people first. See, Satan was thrown out of heaven because of pride. I will be like God. I will be on Most High. I will ascend up, Isaiah says. So Satan has a heyday with pride. And I know none of you have a problem with pride. That's only my issue. And pride is just one of those subtle things. But when I think of myself first, my desires, Satan plays with those whims. I deserve it. I want it. God resists that pride, and Satan thrives on it. Put others first. Serve other people. Forgive other people. Actually, Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed, I have forgiven anything. I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Right? Paul's like, you know what? Let's forgive. Why? Lest Satan should take advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. Forgiveness. See, what happens is I have a right to be angry. That's pride. I have a right to have my way. That sounds like pride again. Right? Forgiveness. Let go of the anger. Let go of the fear. And Satan won't have a hold on us. Resist him through humility. Lastly, resist Satan knowing the cost of following him. There is a cost to sin. The world tries really hard to mask over the results. We see this in our society today. People aren't concerned over the sin. What they're often concerned about is the consequences of it. And so as long as we can mask over the consequences, we're okay. That doesn't work because, you know, I talk about, you know, we got people in the hospital, you know, with infections and dealing with that. You know, if they take care of the symptoms, they send you home. It doesn't take care of the problem. I don't know about you, but over the years, that's probably been one of my biggest frustrations. We take prayer requests and how's someone doing? And it seems like doctors will say, hey, just take this pill, take care of the symptom. Well, what's the problem? Well, we don't know. Then the doctor's surprised when the problem comes back again. Now, I got to be careful because I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. My handwriting, though, does look like a doctor's handwriting, but that's as close as I get. But realize there is a cost for sin. Giving in the Satan, there is a cost, a price to be paid. John chapter 10. This is Jesus talking. He said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly.
See, you realize in this battle, what Satan is trying to do is destroy you. He's trying to separate you from God. Separate you from your faith, of your walk with Him. And there's consequences for that. When Satan gets a hold of your marriage, guess what? He will destroy your marriage. When Satan gets hold of addictions and things in your life, it leads to death and destruction along the way. But it's Christ that gives us life. It's only through Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I fear for our nation because we are going the way and following after Satan. And I fear what's going to happen. And yet, as Christians, we need to stand and realize that He is the one who gives life. James warns us, let each one be... James, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Then James tells us that progression. See, sin isn't when you get caught. Right? You know, we see this all the time. You ever talk to a kid and they're like, I'm sorry. Are you sorry you got caught? Or are you sorry you did it? Right? There's a difference. Or I love the politician apology. Right? I'm sorry if you were offended. That's totally passing the buck. Right? No, sin starts in the heart. That's why Jesus says, you know what? The Bible says, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. But if you looked at a person with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery, what, in your heart? He says, look, the Old Testament says you should not kill. But I say to you, if you've looked and said anger in your heart, you've committed murder in the heart. Jesus goes to the heart issue. And that's where it started. That's what it talks about. That in here, we have this desire that goes into our heart. And if we don't take care of it then, if we don't say, Lord, you know what? I got this anger. Lord, I have this temptation. Lord, if I don't lay that down here, what happens is it grows. It grows. And then that desire conceived gives birth to sin, and then I follow through with it. And then sin, when it's full grown, brings forth destruction and death. Do you see that progression? By the time we're doing it, it's too late. Realize that there is a cost. There's a cost for what you listen to. There's a cost for what you look at. There's cost for where you go. Now, I don't know about you, but I love a beef brain taco. Is anyone? I love saying this up in New England. My brother took me down to a place, this little hole-in-the-wall Mexican place in Minneapolis. And we were in there, and they're all, you know, speaking Spanish. I don't do this. My brother speaks fluent Spanish, so he orders up. And I said, what'd you order me? He goes, beef brain tacos. How many does that sound tempting to you? And for the record, no hand went up. I will tell you, it is scrummy. It is good. It's a little springy. But it is, a little hot sauce, a little salsa. I'll tell you, it was good. And every once in a while, I get a hankering for a beef brain taco. Now, I use this as an illustration because some of you are like, ugh. It's because you never had it. Right? Now, if you had it, you'd be like, yeah, amen, preach it, pastor, right? Sin is like a beef brain taco. We need to realize that temptation doesn't have a hold on us if we never open ourselves up to it. If I never look at the image, I never hear the words, I never read the lyrics, right? All these things in my life, if I don't open myself up to it, it won't be a temptation to you. But if you open that door in your life, what you've done is given a place for the devil. Does that make sense? And what's hard in our society is like, you know what? Do what you want, as long as it doesn't hurt someone else. Go ahead, look and listen, right? We have the whole internet where you can be home alone and look and do all these things in the privacy of your home and say, hey, it's not hurting anyone. Yes, it is. It's hurting you. The thing is a foothold into your life. Be careful. I always thought it was interesting. We talk about, you know, well, these movies are for adults. Because adults can handle it. No! Sin gets a hold of our lives. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. I remember as a little kid in junior church. We call it the Nuggeteers, actually was, the church called it that, Nuggeteers. And there's a little theme song, I won't sing that. But I remember that little song we sang, be careful little eyes what you see. Oh, be careful little eyes what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful little eyes what you see. That's a simple little kid song, right? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. You know what? That might be a kid's song. But boy, there's a profound truth for that. Things as broad as the way that leads to destruction. And many that go with it, don't follow the crowd. Stand firm on God and His Word. Because this sin may be tempting for a while, but it's got a high cost. Hebrews says this, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. It might feel good for a while, but the cost is high. So when the lion roars, we need to resist him. When the lion roars, we need to stand. Back in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, resist him steadfast in the faith. To stand fast, to stand. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, it's the Lord who can keep us upright and standing. Paul told the Ephesians this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? The trickery of Satan. The forces that he has. You are called to stand. And in here he gives us the armor of God to help us do that. Ephesians chapter 6 lays out the armor of God. We preached on this a couple years ago. But it is a real practical thing. Right? The armor of God consists of truth. What is the truth? What does God say? His word is truth. Not what society says, not what the going trend is, not what Twitter whatever the Twitters do. Right? God's word is truth. Cling to the truth. Know the truth. Stand in the truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Do the right thing. And I'll tell you, over the past few months, I've been praying, Lord, help me do what's right. Right? Help me do what's right. As a pastor, help me do what's right. Help me put my own ambitions, my own desires. Because let me tell you something, I have my own ideas about making me wear a mask. I have my own ideas about who I want to win in the politics. I have my own ideas, but I need to yield to God and say, God, help me to do what is right. Let me stand on you. Sandals of peace. Lord, help me to spread peace. Your peace, the gospel. Shield of faith. And a shield is just something you hide behind. Lord, you are true. Lord, you are right. I will stand on what you say. And Lord, I'm going to cling to you. I'm going to hang on to you with both hands. Helmet of salvation. Lord, I am yours. Protect my thoughts. Help me think like a Christian. Give me the mind of Christ. The sword of the Spirit. The word of God. Christian, stand on the word of God. Know the word of God. And then through prayer and through fasting. We've already talked about praying all the time in our lives. And when the lion roars, lastly we see this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. We need to stay together. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're not in this alone. I think out of this whole COVID thing, the thing that's been hard is we feel like we're separated from each other. We need each other more than ever. As Christians, we need each other. Believe it or not, you're sort of my sanity check. It is good to have a brothers and sisters who hold to the same faith, who have the same values, who's going to encourage me in my walk with the Lord. I need you and you need me. So much so, the writers of Hebrews says this, not forsaking the assemblies of yourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see that day approaching, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. As we see that day approaching, folks, things are going to get worse. This world is going to get darker. We are going to need each other more and more. And my experience has been in churches that we are really good at shooting each other in the back, throwing each other under the bus of infighting and division. Folks, we can't have that. And Satan has heydays in churches of splitting and dividing. Satan loves gossip and bitterness. Right? We are in this together. And Satan, while he's pretty powerful, he's always up to the same old tricks. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Folks, the struggle you're going through, you're not alone. The temptation you have, you are not suffering alone with it. I'll tell you, as a kid growing up in church, I thought growing up that my family was the only family that fought. I thought my parents were the only ones that had problems. I thought everyone else had perfect lives because you come to church and everyone looks so nice. You know, the only difference is my home. I knew what was going on behind the scenes. I didn't know what was going on in other homes. An interesting thing happened. I found out you guys are just as messed up as I am. I mean that in a good way. But you struggle. Right? I doubt sometimes. I'm fearful sometimes. And you are too. And to realize the battle is real, but others are experiencing it too. He said, when the Lord called me into the pastorate, I decided right off the bat that I wasn't going to sort of play that pastory. All the pastors I knew, I thought, were perfect. You know, they were up on the little pedestal and they didn't have any struggles. And what I found oftentimes what that did was frustrate me and others. Years ago, there was a lady, her husband had gone through a heart transplant. And they're Christians, good godly people. And she kind of put together a program to go around and use this story of how God brought them around. And being her pastor, I knew some of the struggle that she was going through. You know, the heart transplant was just, that was the easy part. It was dealing with everything afterwards, the financial loss, dealing with the medicines that he was on changed him. I mean, there's all this garbage that is life. And she did a presentation at the church, and she talked about her struggle and everything going through, and I was listening to her, and I said, oh, this is great. Then at the end of it, she came around and said, oh, and now everything is great because God is in control. And I knew things weren't great. And she goes, only if you give everything over to God, then everything will be perfect for you too. And she wrapped things up with that. And afterwards, I pulled her aside and I'm like, what was that? And her thought was that, well, I want to give people hope. She goes, if I told them that I'm still struggling, then that's not giving them hope. I said, you're giving them a false hope. Because what happens is, right, when you look around and people say, oh, you know, people are, you know, everything's perfect, everything's wonderful all the time and all that. And you're like, how come I can't be that way? And so, probably I'm probably kind of probably too real. Let me tell you something, though. Because I'm not the example, it's Christ. I'm not the one to follow, it's Jesus. And my message is, you know what, we're all in this together. And we're all on this way, following Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, when that happens, when we can be real with each other, when we can be honest, and you don't have to be afraid. Because I think so many Christians are afraid. You know, if other people knew in the church my struggle, what were they going to say? What are they going to do? And I'll tell you, what that does is Satan will use that to isolate you. You know, my heart breaks because oftentimes we have people, you know, you guys have been in this, experienced this. You have people that come to church, and they kind of fall off the wagon. They get back involved in the various sins. And you know, one of the first things they do, they stop coming to church. Because, oh, what's so-and-so going to say? What are they going to think? Can I tell you, it should be just the opposite. The first place they need to come is the church. And the church needs to wrap their arms around them. And we'll pray for you. We'll encourage you in this. And we'll get through this together. The power of the church. There's no temptation given to you that such is common to man. And some of what you're going through, other people have gone through too. Some of the struggles that you're experiencing, some people have already gone through that. The book of Revelation talks about, I'm going to Revelation more and more, because I need the encouragement, because at the end of the book, God wins. I need that encouragement. So anytime you get kind of frustrated, pick up the book, read the end. God wins. Revelation chapter 7. It says, after these things, I looked and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, and peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hand, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I look forward to this day because I think I'm going to be, this is one, I don't know if it's a protest, this is one group I'm going to be in. Right? You won't see me burning down Target or, I will be hauling sneakers out of Walmart. That's not my thing. But I look forward to this multitude of the church gathered from every nation and every tribe. What a day that's going to be. As we get together, we're going to shout glory to the Lamb. Glory to God in the highest. He brought us through all of this. All this in this world is going to seem so quick and drop in the bucket compared to all that we have in store for us. Amen? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. I look forward to that. Christian, don't be fooled. Satan is a roaring lion. That's all he can do is roar. But don't fall for it. Don't run off the path. Don't be led astray. Don't become a victim. Because you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And read this with me. Because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you for the victory we can have in you. Lord, Satan is real and he is running wild. Lord, protect your church. Help us to stand firm on you, dear Lord, and not fall for the Satan's tricks. Lord, help us to do what is right, to stand upon your word. And Lord, you will help us to stand, for you are able to keep us from falling. Lord, give us strength in these days. We can't do it on our own. The arm of flesh will fail us. Renew us with your Spirit, Lord. Strengthen us through your Son. And all God's people said,